We've been on this series, the seven steps to the highest kind of faith, and last week we kind of started trying to start going in this direction, but we kind of went a different direction. So I believe we'll be going this direction tonight. It's step number six is know the reality of our fellowship with the Father. Know the reality of our fellowship with the Father. So why don't you go ahead and turn over to 1 Corinthians 1:9, where I had you hold your finger last week for the whole service. 1 Corinthians 1:9, and then why don't you go over and hold your finger in 1 John 1:3. I believe that's where we're going. I have every intention of going here. 1 Corinthians 1:9. 1 John 1:3. The very reason for redemption is fellowship. The reason that we are redeemed, the reason that Jesus came is to redeem us. Why did he redeem us? So he could walk and talk with us and have a relationship with us. That's why. I mean, that's a core reason. Why was man created? It's so God could fellowship with us. He wants to have a relationship with man. He loves us. So we're redeemed for a purpose, so we could have fellowship with him. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Notice you were called unto or into fellowship with God's Son, Jesus Christ. We were called into that. And the only way we can really be in fellowship with him is through Jesus. Because there's a separation between man and God. Because all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. And so there's a divide there, and we couldn't be patched, we couldn't just be band-aided, we had to be recreated, and the only way we could be that could happen was Jesus' sacrifice. And so he came to earth and he yielded himself to death for the purpose of redeeming you and I, so that you could be in the family of God, so that he could be with you. That's one of the core reasons. So in our everyday life, he wants to know us, and he wants to hang out with us. He wants to know the details of our lives. He wants to hear from us. You realize that's the heart of God? Everyone in here, he knows you better than you know yourself. You know, every hurt that you've ever had, he was there. He didn't cause it. We live in a fallen world, and we've all made choices in this world, and there's the curse. This is a curse-filled world. We're redeemed from the curse, but it still is affecting everything. This world is not what God created originally. And we'll see that more, you know, when we're out of here, I think. But what we see right now, people will say, well, gosh, why did God create it this way and this way? Well, you're not looking at what he created. You're looking at a world after a worldwide flood. You're looking at a big change in the world. The climate was not like this. When you're complaining about the snow, it was not like that. That's not the climate that God created. You know, I don't believe that's what it was like in the garden. Adam and Eve were freezing their rear ends off, if that's the way it was. I don't think that was, because they didn't have clothes at the beginning. I don't think it was like that, do you?
No.
I don't think so. I think it's more like some of these places that we have brochures about, where you just, you know, sunny sky, blue water, you just pure, yeah, trees, it just feels perfect. It's just the perfect temperature. Why not? I mean, God doesn't just do stuff, anyway. He doesn't do stuff wrong. He does stuff right. And he created us. I was saying, he some stuff may have happened to you, but God didn't cause it. Yeah, some things, you might have had some hurts in this life. We all have. but God wasn't responsible for it. And the fact is, he was there. And he is there to help you through anything and anything that you may be hurting, even tonight. You realize God is there and he wants to know about it. You say, well, he already knows about it. Yes, we know. But you can tell him. Do you realize you can talk to him like that? Like sometimes when you think he already knows, you can go and talk to him. I know this may seem obvious. Don't let this be too obvious to you right now. Because you can be going through something and it just pounding on you and you're going through this hurt and you're aware that God is there, but there's a difference between knowing God's there and saying, Lord, this hurts. I'm feeling stressed about this. That's not a negative confession. You can say, I this is pushing on me. But Lord, I look to you and I'm trusting you. Not in a religious way, not like, well, I'm just going to buck up. This is what I'm supposed to do. I'm saying you can go. He cares and he knows what you feel like because Jesus was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Do you know it? There's nothing that happens to you on this earth, in your body, in relationships. If you've ever experienced, we all have, you know, a condition where you're going through some physical struggle or physical pain. Do you realize God knows that that's hurting you, that the emotional stress that's causing you? He's not like, well, you just buck up. By Jesus' stripes, you're healed. No, he understands what you're going through. And if you'll relate to him and realize he's your father, he's not just off somewhere. He wants fellowship with you. You know, you may go talk to your spouse and say, man, this hurts. Not in a whiny way, just, you know, I'm standing, but I'm hurting right now. There's nothing wrong with saying you hurt. Okay? Some people have taken the faith message and gone whacked out with it, and they think they can't admit that they're feeling any kind of pain or they're going through something because that wouldn't be faith. You can admit that you're feeling pain and right in the middle of it say, but I believe that this has got to change. Not admitting it, that's not necessarily faith. Not admitting it isn't faith. Denial is not faith. You know, when you go to the doctor and they poke you, and they say, does that hurt? Does that hurt? Does that cause you pain? And the answer is not, I have no pain in Jesus' name. That is not the answer at that point. If it hurts, you don't go, no, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. No, he's asking you. He's not asking you what you believe. He's asking, when I push here, does it hurt? Yes, that hurts. Don't do it again. It hurts. Right? Do we know this? Because some people have gone way over here and said, no, I would never admit I'm feeling pain. Well, why are you at the doctor? If he's trying to figure out, you know, does this hurt when I do this to your arm? Well, no, that doesn't hurt. Well, okay. But if it does hurt and he's trying to help you, then why are you there? Right? If we're there, but we don't want to tell him what's going on, then why go to the doctor? If either don't go to the doctor, or if you're going to go, then cooperate. But no, that's not... you know, that's not faith if you're denying something. You can be right in the middle of something and believe, I see it. In fact, when you're strong faith, you'll say, yeah, I see that. Yeah, I feel sick as a dog right now, but that's going to change. And you get right back up and say, no, I'm healed. It doesn't look like you're healed. Yeah, but Jesus, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. That's a lot different than saying I'm not sick. Everybody can tell you're sick. Or you're fighting symptoms. You don't have to admit, you don't have to accept it. But see, people have not wanted to accept certain things and they won't even admit what is. Admitting what is reality right now is not an admission of defeat. You just say, look, it looks like this, but it's going to change. It will change. See, that's faith. Now, I don't look like I'm winning right now, but I will win. But my point is that God in the middle of that, he cares. He wants a relationship with you. Do you realize, when you realize this to a higher degree, what are we talking about? That this will bring our faith up? Because if you realize God Almighty, that I have fellowship with him, that he cares, he's not like holding me saying, well, let's see if you pass the faith test. you know, kind of at a distance, like you can't really go to him. You have to know, you have to get to know your father and realize that you can go to him just like you could a good friend or a spouse or a brother, or if you had a good earthly mother or father, that you could go to him and say, here's what's going on, without any pretense. That you could say, hey, here's what's going on. Well, if you realize you could tell God that and that he's not, you know, he's not going to say, oh, that's the wrong confession. Go away and study some more and come back. No, that you're hurting. And that you can go and say, look, this is where I'm at. Or this person frustrates me. I'm frustrated. I'm feeling frustrated. Okay. Well, no, I'm not frustrated. Well, if you're frustrated and you're acting, it's the same thing. If you're frustrated but you're going to say you're not, you're in denial. That's not going to help you. It doesn't mean you have to yield to it and go, well, I'm frustrated. I'm going to let everybody know it. No. But if you say, yeah, I mean, this thing's, I'm frustrated with it, or I'm hurt by this, or this angers me. Okay, now, you go to the Lord, you know what he's going to do? Gently, he's just going to coax you and bring you back to what the Word says. And if you talk to him, he'll talk back. I'm not saying you'll hear an audible voice, but inside, he'll quicken Scripture back to you. You'll have an impression on the inside. Well, what about this? And it's gentle. It's not beating you over the head. Well, you should do this. It's gentle. It's like, I understand. Have you thought about this? Or you'll just hear, you'll just have an impression of the Scripture. You know, I'm hurt. I'm not feeling well. Yeah, but I've already made provision for that. Just look to him. I mean, he's there. He's a good God. And think of that. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, yet he's right there. You have to envision him walking right next to you, being there in that room with you, saying, yeah, I know, and we're going to get through it. Now, if he's saying that to you, you know it's God Almighty saying, yeah, and we'll get through it. If you believe that you have fellowship with him, and he's your God, and he cares about you, if we understand that, what will that do to our faith? Buoy it up. Do you know, when you have somebody walk through something with you, if they're truly empathetic with you, that can help you a lot, right? Somebody, you know, whether it's a nurse or a doctor, just taking you and saying, yeah, I hear you. And it's going to be all right, and showing you that in itself has a healing effect. And that sometimes we lose that with how fast we go through things now, right? But if you have somebody with you, I mean your spouse or a good friend or somebody, and just saying, yeah, I'm with you. We're going to get through this. That makes you feel strengthened, doesn't it? And think about it. If we get to know God, God's not out there just judging us. I know I'm supposed to be serving you better. I know it. That's not God. If you hear that all the time, you feel like, God, I'm just so sorry. I know I should be doing better. I'm failing. I should be believing you. Lord, this is pushing me. And you don't even think that way. You're just like, I know I should be doing better, and I should be believing you, and I should be further now, and I'm not doing it. I'm not putting it into practice. Do you realize those thoughts are not from God? When you feel beat up or like, oh, I just should do better, God is not condemning you. The enemy will come and try to condemn you. What does that make you do, want to do, when you feel condemned in somebody's presence? Do you want to be around somebody that does not hold you in high esteem? We've all had people that don't really esteem us. For whatever reason, they don't like us, or they think we're, you know, not all that smart, or somehow we got it in a bad light in their eyes, and they just don't think highly of us. We've all had those people. Do you want to be in their presence? Do you want to be around them?
No.
No. But God wants us to be in fellowship with him. We are called into fellowship with him. That's what he wants. Now you think of a kind person that is understanding and gracious. If you have somebody in your life, or you had somebody in your life, maybe it was your mother, your father, maybe it was a good friend, that they would understand. You could bring them anything, they would understand, and they would listen to you. Now if you can think of a human being like that, how much more God Almighty, who is gracious beyond measure, who is loving, who is love, would he be there for you, and that when you come to him, he is not like, you fool, haven't you got this together yet? You person that's been here 35 years, I'm infinite, and I see another person coming along who wants to serve me and wants to do my thing, and I'm going to beat him up over the head. That's not God. Who would want you to want to run from the presence of God? The enemy would try to sow thoughts and give you things that would try to push you out of fellowship with him, with God. He'll try to drive a wedge saying, you're not doing well. You don't want to bring that to God. It won't sound like this, but it'll be like, I'd fail. I'm not doing well. Rather than going to the one and being honest and saying, this is where I'm at, Lord, and I know that you understand and you love me now. Help me get through this. And you know what he'll do? He'll bring you back to his word. I'm not talking about whining and blubbering, just, I just can't do it, and just help me. In unbelief, that's not going to do you any good. But some people have taken the fact that, well, you don't want to do that, and then made it like you can't go to God. No, God's a personal God. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, the Bible said, when Jesus was on this earth. So no, he's personal. And he wants to be in every part of your life. And he wants to gird you up. And he wants to strengthen you and get you stronger through it. But he is a good and personal God. And when we know this, this will buoy up our faith. Let's turn the other place you have your finger there in 1 John 1, verse 3. This will help you tonight. I just think there are, you know, some of us in here maybe recently, or there's something that you have been hurt with, or that you're feeling hurt right now. And this can be an answer for you, part of the answer. If you let God be that personal God, not trying to have such a tough skin, not trying to be faith woman or man. And be real with him. Realize he already knows. And let him in. Let him be that personal God. Your faith will increase. You will be, I shouldn't say it that way, it will, you'll be able to believe with the faith that you have, it will be encouraged. And you'll be built up and to use the faith that you have. Verse 3, 1 John 1, verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Notice that. We're writing these things to you that your joy may be full. You know how you're going to have fullness of joy? Well, it's the presence of God. In the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, there is fullness of joy. You having fellowship with God and His Son and the Holy Spirit, you're going to experience joy. I mean, we were all created to have this. That's how we're going to have joy. That it says that our joy may be full. Verse 7, it says, skip down there, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The highest honor that the Father has ever conferred upon us is to be joint fellowshippers with himself, with his Son, and with the Holy Spirit in carrying out his dream for the redemption of the human race. But relationship without fellowship is not right. It's not meaningful. It's not the right way it should be. It is like the marriage relationship without love or fellowship. Think about that. Marriage, as a symbol like what we're talking about here, is not supposed to be, two people are married. Can you imagine? Two people are married, but they don't like to be around one another, or they're scared of one another, or there's no real love between each other, and there's no fellowship. What's marriage then? I mean, it's just this Yeah, you have relationship. Legally, you're married, but you don't have any fellowship. That's dry, tedious. I mean, that's not fun. And you know what? There's a lot of Christians in that boat. There's a lot of people that have gotten that way even in the faith camp. Why? Because you can, the devil will, if he can't keep you out of something, then he'll twist it so that you become the truth. See, it's not the truth, it's a half truth. He will twist things and lie to you and use scripture to do it so that the very thing that is to bless you becomes a weight in your life. And people have gotten that way even with the word of faith. And faith is not going away. Faith is how we come to God. Faith was not a movement that was just, you know, 70s, 80s, now we're on to new things. No, it's not. That's how we come to Him. But when you take it and start thinking, I have to do everything, it's not faith toward God, it's starting to be faith in what I can do. And then that's a weight that you're not made to bear. And what does it do? People get excited. This is exactly what happens to people. They get excited when they hear the word and say, you mean I can believe God and things will change in my life, and they start off well, but then if they trip up or they don't see something, the devil's real quick to say, to condemn you and say, you're not doing well enough. You're not doing it right. You're doing it wrong. You should be further. You should have gotten your healing by now. You should have believed for that money by now. And so what does he do? He's beating you up. And so what you start to push away, whether you know it or not, and draw away from God because you feel condemned in his presence, not because it's his presence, because you're listening to the enemy. And the devil has duped so many people into thinking that that voice is God. That the voice of you could do better, because we all know we could do better. Right? Is there anybody in here that thinks, I could not possibly do better? I had the best day, best week, best year. I have arrived. I'm sailing. I couldn't do anything better in my life. I mean, my hair is perfect. I eat perfectly. I exercise exactly the way I mean, everything. I say the exact word at every moment in every day. No, you could do something better. We all know that. So it's real easy for the enemy to come on. You could do better. And what? See, people think that's God. Does God just ribbon you like that? Let me ask you a question. If you lived with somebody like that or around somebody that's always saying you should do better, you did that wrong, would you want to be around them? No. Would you even think that was a nice person? No. Would you think warm, fuzzy thoughts about them? No. So why do we think that would be God like that? God's not an egg. He's not a jerk. He's not condescending. He's gracious. I mean, already, he's almighty and we're human. Already, I mean, the fact that he's dealing with us. That's all you have to say, that he sent his son to redeem us. We are put in the same class. A human being is put in a high class because, and really, he's made us righteous because of Jesus, but it's only because of Jesus. It's not because you and I are so great. So why then is it like, yeah, and you could do better? Well, okay, but is that God saying that? It's not. If you uncover this and realize that's not the Lord, that's not how he does things. He does not beat people up. He does not shame people. That is not the voice of the Lord. When you feel discouraged about something, it is meant to get you out of fellowship with him. It is not him. You say, yeah, but I know I could do better. I know this. Yeah, but God doesn't go about it that way. That's not how he operates. Let me ask you a question. Has that gotten you to do better? That nagging? No, more than often, it makes you do worse. Pretty soon, you're doing worse. Do you think God uses methods that don't work? No, he doesn't. It's not the Lord. I'm sorry. So you will get free. Somebody can leave here more free than they ever have been if you just get that simple truth. That if it's doubt and discouragement, it is not God. And it's so tempting. The devil's crafty. He'll say, oh, yeah, but you know, I mean, yeah, I know what he said, but you know, you should do this. And it won't come like that. It's like, yeah, but I, you know, and he'll try to impersonate God. You know what I told you to do and you're not living it. You ever hear something like that? It's not the Lord. He doesn't talk to people like that. He is gentle. I'm not saying he's mamby-pamby and, you know, mealy-mouth. He's not that way at all. He can be stern. That's different than being condescending and shaming. Do you know that? He can say, look, you know better than that. Get up. You know what my word says. That's different than saying you're stupid. You'll never, you got to get up. Come on, quit doing. That's not the way he talks. That's not him. God wants to have fellowship with us, and yet so many of us have bought the lie that somehow there's this, that it, when I get to a certain place of putting his word into practice, then I can fellowship with him. That's a bad idea. No, right now, whichever state you're in, you just know that God loves you, that he's for you, that his desire is just to have fellowship with you right there. With all, you say, but I haven't arrived. Okay, join the club. Nobody has, so just where you're at, that you can be right in and say, God, thank you. Thank you. I just want to hang out with you here. Yeah, you know I don't have this and this, and I like to talk to you about that, but we're going to get there. I know with you and I, we can get there. You know what that does to your faith? It buoys it up to where you're saying, we can make it. I know we can make it. I can make it with God and me. If I'll just look to him, it's possible. All things are possible to him who believes. Thank God. Look at Psalm 16:11 real quick. Psalm 16:11. Everybody there? It says, you will show me the path of life in your presence. See, if you're in his presence, you could be in his presence and not have fellowship with him, but in his presence and fellowshipping with him, you know, you can fellowship with him in his presence, but in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence is fullness of joy. You are not going to have fullness of joy if you're in somebody's presence and you feel like they're displeased with you, or you're looking at the wrong thing. You're not looking at this person. If this person wants to be with me, if you know that somebody truly wants to be with you and hang out with you, it's easy to be in their presence. When we feel accepted and loved, and that's just the opposite of what we talked about earlier, when somebody doesn't think highly of you, is a nag or is condescending, or, you know, coming down the hall, you're like, I don't want to be around them. They just don't like me. Just the opposite is when you know that somebody loves you and they accept you right where you're at. That makes you want to be around them. That makes you want to go to them. Why? Because you feel loved. You feel accepted. And we ought to feel that way with God. He accepted us when we were nothing. We didn't do a thing in the world to merit him having accepted us. The only thing we did is accept what Jesus did for us. So think about it this way. All the things that you've done or believed God or done well since you became born again, you became born again, he accepted you before you did any of it. And he loved you. And even maybe when you were doing some real stupid stuff before that. Or maybe even since that. Probably since that even, you know? You've done some dumb, but you know what? He saw you before you had ever done anything right or wrong, and he accepted you. So now, right where you're at, today, tonight, no matter what state you're in, no matter where different things are, he's absolutely accepting you, and he's one of those persons that you should be looking, going, hey, it doesn't matter what all these other people are thinking, and they may not like me, but I know somebody that wants to hang out with me always, and that's the Lord. And if we can see this, and we can come up in this area and see what he really feels towards us, and the way he's looking at us, that just emboldens you to face life. You know you have somebody on your side, and he's the Almighty, and he loves me. He's not just like, yeah, you're family, so I'll deal with you, but you're really just, man, okay, I'm just going to hold my nose and let's go. It's not like that. He owns up to the fact that you're his child, and he loves you, and he's boldly standing behind you going, yeah, we got it. This is my son. This is my daughter. Let's go. If you know somebody's behind you like that, it makes you stand up a little straighter. It makes you just be bolder and say, okay, we're going to do this. God's my father. That's totally different, and the enemy does not want you in that position where you are with him and you know who he is. That strengthens. You see, now you're in faith. You're saying, we're going to get this thing. He's got me, and if I maybe have to come up in a few things, he knows how to get me there, and he's on the job, so I'm just going to rest in him. And see, that just puts you up, emboldens you. Then you're able to receive what he has for you because he wanted it all along. It wasn't him pushing you away. It wasn't him trying to beat you up. It was the enemy and probably your own thinking that's been messed up. And so we can go forth. And then that just increases our faith. That helps us to walk in the things that he has for us. And we can experience that fullness of joy. Amen.